have this terrible problem that's been happening lately.
Wait, what?
Well, my girlfriend and I do it. It's like we watch TV before bed, and we don't go to sleep realistically till like 1 a.m.
Mm,
and
bro.
It's killing me right now, man. I swear something happened when, because well, I'm 27 in June. Something happened like...
Mind blowing.
I
getting so old.
I know, so old. Like a few years ago where my sleep has just started completely determining my day. Okay. Like I know it's like, but my God, it has snuck up on me so badly. Like I can tell what type of day I'm going to have immediately. And it's so hard to climb out of it.
It is funny you say that too, because I kid you. I mean, when we were growing up, I could go one, maybe 2 days with no sleep.
Dude, I could wake up
thriving.
On someone's floor and like have the best
the
day
lawn.
Ever.
I feel like now if I don't even hit like 5-6 hours, I literally go to Kirsten. I'll wake up in the morning, or if it hits like 1 a.m. and I know I got to be up at 5, I'm like, oh, tomorrow's going to be rough.
You guys are making me yawn. Stop, bro.
Well,
I swear this whole last week, especially when you have a person, like thing, you know, with your sweetheart, me and Brandon, like, well, I got home last night from work at like 8, okay? So then eat dinner. It's like 9.
Yep.
And then I don't want to touch the TV because I know we're going to stick on a movie.
Yeah.
And so then we almost did it.
I was like, let's have conversation. But then you don't get to bed till like 12.
Right.
And then
we didn't do that. We were good.
But like you get your routine. And then we wake up at like 6 and you're like, then you go through the whole day again. And it's a good thing, but like at the same time, it's draining every day.
Yeah.
So I was going to say, change is great, it's fantastic, but I feel like the hardest part about change is going back into your old habits.
Because
I was gonna say,
yes,
yeah, Jake doesn't understand, but you understand.
This is such a flip. I was like,
it's the same thing.
So now let's change, right?
Well, it's habits, right?
It's true. It's
so
true.
one of the biggest. So I think with Kirsten, when Kirsten and I moved in together, she was like, okay, we're gonna break one habit off the bat, and I'm like, okay, well, what's that? She goes,
fart anytime I want now. You're like, I'm married, I'm done holding it in.
No, she was like, we're not going to have a TV in the bedroom.
Oh,
no
gosh,
TV in the bedroom.
Yeah, okay.
And
I
was like, okay, well, that's rough because, well, my whole life, what you were saying, I can go to bed. I'll go to bed at a decent time and I'll spend hours watching TV.
You'll fall asleep watching TV.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
I can't do that.
The TV would never turn off. It would turn off when I woke up the next morning. That's just how it was for me my whole life. So I was like, okay, I guess we'll try it out. And instead of a TV, we made like a little library.
Where the
TV would go.
Uh-huh.
But that's helped. Like,
do you guys read them or just look at them?
It's a little bit of both. Yeah. It's like a 50-50 on a good day. We'll read them.
I gotta tell you, that's the crappiest thing about having a book addiction or actually being an avid reader is taking your library with you when you move. It sucks. It's like I'm always thinking about getting rid of them, but then I'm like, but I need them. They're like my trophies. Like I've achieved them.
I've read this.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like
did you read the book
nice
I got
about-
you?
I've been looking at it every other day. Like I'll just flip through.
He looks at it.
No. I'll actually like read inside of it. I haven't remembered any of the Proverbs, but I'll like.
But
look
you're reading
through.
It.
Yeah. Well, it's on my coffee table, and I'll just like pick it up and flip through it, and then I have like two books on there. I have like a book my dad gave me of like 101 best letters and quotes, and then it's the Proverbs book. Yeah. So it's either that or the other one, and then I've been reading this one on basically it's not the book A Brief History of the World, because I've read that before. But it's kind of like another book of like what we know, like why we know what we know. It's pretty good. But man, I have this severe problem where I start doing these tasks or these hobbies that I really, really enjoy. And then they fall into this thing. It's like where I enjoy them. But then at some point they become a task that I have to get done. And it's like, am I doing this? Because I start off enjoying this, but now I'm like, I'm not getting it done throughout my day. And now it's starting to become something like, well, crap, I didn't get to it.
Then it's frustration.
Right. And then when you're in the process of it, it's like, well, I'm not retaining any of this because this just feels like something I'm having to get through. And it's like, I have such a, I have such a, like, a problem with that I'm trying to rewire and figure out why I'm like that, because it's like, well, I didn't get it done today, and then okay, I'll set the time to start doing it, and then I do it and I'm just like, you know, I'm sitting there like kind of fidgety and stuff. I'm like, I'm doing it, but I'm trying to get through it. It's like, I used to enjoy doing this. What happened?
That's yeah. me trying yeah. to learn a language because I really want to learn language.
Yeah, I'll
be like, I was so diligent. And I was like, yeah, I'm great. And then it just goes away in my brain. And then I feel bad and I'm like beating myself up inside because I'm like, oh, I didn't do it today.
Yeah.
And by the time I didn't do it for 10 days, I'm like, well,
yeah,
whatever.
Language learning is so insanely difficult. And I think it's also from my experience learning language, because I've been studying Spanish now for like 2.5 years. And I think one of the most difficult things is, especially the comparison thing, but when you go online and you see, you have people that have like, oh, I learned it in 6 months, or oh, I learned it in a year, or this and that. And it's not
especially the ads that tell me that they learned 5 languages in 6 months.
And it's not that it isn't impossible, because I do think it is a skill if dedicated the time. You can advance to like a B1 or you know, a B2 pretty quickly over a year. Because, you know, that's how they scale. They have A1, A2, B2, B1, B2, C1. And then when you're C1, I'm pretty sure that's like you're basically fluent. You're practically there. And
you're C, babe.
Yeah, I mean, if you grew up speaking, you're realistically you a C1. But the interesting thing is, I think it also depends on how you grade it, because you could be a C1 in the sense of like you're fluent, you can talk about anything you want to talk about, but maybe grammatically you wouldn't know how everything goes together perfectly.
I think that's probably one of, you know, our struggles. We kind of like make fun of it because I'll have a family member call me, I'll instantly switch with Spanish. I'll talk to someone work related, can switch.
Yeah.
But then Kirsten would be like, yeah, let's have a Spanish lesson, can you teach me this and this and this? And I'm just like,
Yeah.
Wait, how do I teach this?
I was like,
how do I, you know, that's been the toughest part.
We did go to a park one time and he kept saying bird in Spanish, but I forget it now. Isn't that terrible?
Yeah.
What was it again?
Pájaro.
Yeah.
Pájaro.
Pájaro.
With a P.
Pájaro.
P.
Yeah.
Pájaro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot it.
You're teaching like Duolingo. Well, also, it's with anything you want to learn. The most important part of learning anything is being inspired by it. That's the only, you're never going to learn anything if you don't care about what you're learning. I mean, and that's the hardest part, is finding a way to care about it. Because if you have a broad stroke thing that specifically learning a language is, I want to learn the language because I want to know a second language. Odds are you're not going to stick to it. You know what I mean? It's like, that's also why these people in these YouTube videos is like learning language. I had to learn a language in 30 days because I had a trip. And you're like, wow, they learned so much. It's like, yeah, because they had that thing. They had that driving force. It's like, I have to know it because of this. It's like inspiring. Or I want to learn it to surprise my friend or something. Like, that's always going to get you to the finish line more than just, I just want to learn it. It's your motivation. Yeah, it's the same. It's the same with like these music aficionados and stuff like that. It's why these people are so insane at their instrument. And you see them, it's like, oh, I want to get like that. It's like, yeah, but they live and breathe that. That is their life. And that's why they're so good at it. Mm-hmm. And if you want to be a multifaceted person, if you want to be a Renaissance person, basically, you have to learn to fall deeply in love with what you're doing, or you're never going to really get to where you want to get. And then you're going to beat yourself up. But you got to be honest with yourself. It's like relationships.
Yep.
It's like, it's completely like relationships. It's like, oh, why isn't it there? It's like, well, do you really love what's going on? Or is it like,
it's just going.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like passing by.
Yeah.
I feel like though, too, with other things like hobbies and stuff that I actually really genuinely love, but like don't love to put the effort in my brain.
Yeah.
You know what
I
mean? Like sometimes I feel like my brain is so tired.
Right.
Like it's overdone. So like when I'm, because like music is what I do. I write, I perform entertainment. It comes natural to me even though it's work. So I could do it even if I'm sleeping in my brain.
Right.
But if I'm having to relearn something, I have to wake myself up a different way. And sometimes I'm way too exhausted to do that. And I think it's like, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Like, how do you wake your brain up again and be like, I'm alive?
Yeah.
I just thought of a funny moment the other day when you were pacing.
Oh, yeah.
So
I pace a lot.
I pace on every phone call I ever have.
No, okay.
I pace while someone's hugging me. I can't even sit while someone hugs me.
No, but this is hilarious. I'm like chill in the house. I had just finished something. Like, I'm more of like a, I'll create like a to-do list.
Sure.
And I'll tackle it one by one.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just sitting there
like
eating.
Most people. I create a to-do list and I check off each thing. That's different. I'm
sitting there eating all calm and everything. And I see Kirsten. I'm like having such a calm moment. Yeah. And Kirsten comes in front of me just starts pacing.
Just like ping-ponging.
But pacing at like lightning speed and going like, oh my God, I got to do this. And I was like, can you do that over there? Like, it's stressing me out just watching you.
Dude, yeah. My girlfriend will be the same way. She's like, because I get like that too. And she's like, if I'm like tapping a table or I'm like that, she'll like stop me. And she's like, hey, can you? I feel it as well.
Yeah.
This is like calm talk.
Yeah. I just feel like I'm always going though. But I feel like that's a typical thing in most, I guess, creative centric people. From what I've noticed and what I've read and the people I idolize and kind of study up on, I mean, they all were very eccentric and very all over the place.
Yeah. Right.
Well, because like, I know how you're laughing at Brandon for making his list. Yeah. But, like, I make my list and then I forget the list exists.
Right. So oh, I have lists written everywhere. Yeah.
So then I have to put it in my calendar and then I forget to look at my calendar list. So I have stuff I need to do during the day at specific times. And then I'll write in there my list to do, like write this person and write this person. But then I'll be like, oh man, I didn't do that. And then I'll go back like 5 days. Then I'll go redo that part. And then I'll be like, oh wait, but I had to teach myself not to procrastinate, because it's actually a very easy thing for me to just like la 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 la. But I had to train myself to not la la, like I'm just everywhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
your brain's just constantly
everywhere. So then I had to like learn to focus, and like that was a struggle. I remember my first time traveling to China, and I could not sit. I'm someone who's never be able to sit still. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, I got to teach myself to sit still. So the whole plane ride, I did nothing. I literally did nothing.
You just like, raw dogged the plane ride?
17-hour flight.
I didn't fly with Kirsten, but I still messed with her because I'm like, I'm just imagining you like.
I did that.
Brandon's like, got like the neck pillow, his headphones. He's playing his Switch. He's like, babe, you really want to do anything?
No, I mean, like, I was alone. I was like, okay, I either have to train my mentality to realize that sitting still is not wasting time. Mm-hmm. And that's hard because like, Brandon was trying to hug. Every time Brandon tries to hug me for longer than a second,
mm-hmm.
I'm bouncing.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. And we're going to move. I have stuff to do. I feel bad.
No, I get it. I think this, the stillness is so important. And it's also, it's like, you know, the one thing I've always thought about is the luxury to a structured job is just that, is structure.
Yeah.
It's a schedule. It's mm-hmm. like you really do. If you're lucky enough to work 24/7 on what you love to do, there's so many great things that come from that. But at the same time, no structure can be just as mentally destructive as structure. Like there are times where it's like, do I envy the 9-to-5? No, because I love my free time.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when you have so much free time and you don't structure it properly, you end up doing nothing, and that stresses you out just as much. So I'm the same way. It's like I've had to create a schedule of like, when I wake up, I have to make sure I do this and this and this, or I have to get these X amount of things in my day. And when it started, it was amazing. I loved it so much. But then I think it molded my mind into this task-based person. To where it's like, okay, everything was to fill my time, but now I'm like, wait, now I need to just get it done.
Yep.
And then I feel like my day is filled with just getting stuff done. And then sometimes the stuff I really want to do, it's like I'm not doing because I'm like, well, I still need to go get these things done. And one skill I've learned lately is to just let myself be in stuff. It's like, if I need to do this right now, I'm just going to do this. And if I don't get to the other thing, obviously this is more important. I mean, granted, in the context of whatever that other thing is, but if it's like, oh, okay, today I didn't practice X, it's like, yeah, well, I spent time pushing this forward, and if I really wanted to do this, then that means this is probably where my heart was today. It's like sometimes
it's not
like
the end of the world.
Yeah, it's like you know, getting your auditions done or writing your music and making sure it's like that at the end of the day is what I do. The other things are hobbies, but it's like, I guess a huge thing I was realizing is, I guess when being so lucky enough to be successful in such a amazing industry and stuff, it's like I have this fear that if I don't make myself abundantly interesting by doing all these things and make myself a multi, you know,
faceted
individual that can do this in X, Y, and Z. It's like, then I won't be worthy of my successes. And I think that's a huge reason why I indulge and dive into all these hobbies is at its core, it starts as like, I want to know how to do these things. I love doing this. Like, I really find this stuff fascinating. But then it becomes this thing of like, oh, well, what if I don't know how to do all this stuff? Yeah. Or what if I don't know so much about, like I want to be a cinephile because I want to, with the industry and stuff, make sure I really know what I'm talking about with, like, movies and stuff like that. But then sometimes I don't feel like I'm that enough. I'm like, well, if I don't know that enough, am I even worthy to call myself an actor? And then with music, it's like, if I don't know every album name or every genre of music or every artist in the history of that, am I worthy enough to call myself a musician? And then with language learning, and then when it comes to, and then like fitness and everything, it's like all these things I'm super interested in. It's like, if I don't know the peak of it, am I just basic in all of it? And that like scares me.
It's
and
called
then,
overthinking.
No, totally.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
that, 100%.
I was going to say, there's always a million ways to beat yourself up.
Yeah,
I will say though, in that, like, I forget what the thing you were talking about, the practicing of something. That's helped me a lot is that, like, as soon as it pops in my head, I do it. I've had to practice that, because if I go through my day and then I'm just forgetting something, as soon as it pops in my head, I'm like, no, I gotta do it, because that's efficient,
right?
You know, or like book it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'll even, like, text messages or emails or all these things, I'm really bad at responding, and sometimes I could go like years without talking to somebody, and in my head I'm thinking we're chill, like, we're homies. I know everything about you. Like, it's fine for me, because one day goes by and I'm chill, you know?
Yeah, right.
But I realize, like, oh, I haven't actually spoken to you in a really long time.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I feel bad about it. But, like, then I'm like, but I thought about it. I thought about you. I'm putting the effort into doing it. And I think that that's helped me with my overthinking, because if I focus on everything I haven't done, or focus on everything I can't do, or you know, haven't completed, then I'm gonna end up on the floor crying.
Well, it's like being the most structured, unstructured person.
Yes,
I think. Yeah,
and getting fun.
Cursor just reminded me. There's so many moments I laugh. It has literally no context to what's being said.
Thanks, Pep. Yeah. He just likes to laugh at me.
I'll just say for the laugh. But it was really funny, because Kirsten does hang out with a ton of people who are way before my time, and she'll, and then I'll just be like, "Who are these people?" And she'll be like, "Oh yeah, this is from back then." But then sometimes she'll say people, and I'll question their names.
Wait, what? Who are they?
Well, like, the other day, she texts me. She's like, "Hey, babe, sorry, I'm at this event, and I'm just, I'm gonna go hang out with Dirty."
No,
I was like, and I send her a text, and I
send
her,
"Hang out with Dirty Boy."
Don't say the name, though.
No, I'm not going to say the name. It's hilarious. But I said, I sent her a text.
It was,
and I'm
obviously
like,
an autocorrect.
Hey, babe, I'm going to go hang out with Big Hands. Like, you're like, who the hell is Big Hands?
I was like, who's Dirty?
Especially because I'm like at this late night evening thing.
It's like midnight.
It's like 9 p.m. Like, I'm like, hey, at least I warned you, okay? Yeah.
No. I kid you not, at like 12:30, I receive a text saying, "Hey, babe, I'm going to go out to eat dinner with Dirty."
Oh, man.
I was like, who the hell is Dirty?
Dude.
Sorry, we can go back, but that was hilarious.
Well, I mean, I have so many contacts in my phone that are descriptors of what the person was wearing, unless the person's name. It's like, it's so bad.
No, I now get a selfie with each person. I send it to them.
Oh, and you put it as like their...
I send it directly to them. I'm like, you remember me? I remember you. Yeah. Also, like...
Oh my God, I have another memory. Can I say this one? We're not going to just say names, but I have to say it was so funny. But it's so funny.
It's exposed Kirsten.
Yeah.
If you don't want it in, we can edit it out. That's easy.
Okay.
But it was funny. So Kirsten and I are walking in a mall, the Beverly Center, and we're walking into this store. And again, I don't know a lot of the people Kirsten knows. You know what I mean?
Dude, yeah.
So she's getting a phone call. She's getting a phone call. We're literally closer than this. And she's like, "Babe, this number keeps calling me. Do you know who this is?" And it's not a random number. The name comes up.
Yeah,
she's like, "Jay, do you know who this is?" And I look at her and I'm like, "Babe, how the hell would I know who that is? I don't know who that is. I don't know who that is. And they keep calling her.
Yeah.
And the person is following us like a foot away.
She's like, who is this?
So yelling,
she keeps hanging up.
So they're right behind
they
us.
They like love you and they're just filming like getting me, crushed.
No, Jake, they're filming me. Say this.
You're like, who is this idiot?
The funny part is when we found out they were right behind us, I still didn't know them. So I was completely good.
No,
with my
but
line.
Like
Brandon turns around, he's like, you need something? What?
Oh my goodness. Okay, the phone number that I had on there had a different name than what I knew them as.
Oh.
And that's an issue because a lot of the people
you're
I know...
You're like, blue shirt with glasses. Who is this?
No, it was like a professional name. And a lot of the people I know have like 2 to 3 names.
Yeah.
Because,
well, she
yeah.
gives them nicknames
like
Dirty
Sugar no. Sleep Night or something like that. You hang out with a lot of people that are like named after adjectives. I've come to realize.
I am artist friends, yeah. Okay? But like...
You're like, what do you go by? I'm purple. Like full name? Like, no, I'm purple,
my,
purple,
my
purple.
My alter ego is Cheesy B, so don't oh, worry about God. It.
Yeah. Oh,
anyways,
man.
In that, I think that I, as you can see, I have not mastered
yeah.
the all busyness in my brain bucket.
Yeah.
But That's what it is being a busybody.
I won't say anymore, but we have countless funny encounters like that.
That happens.
It's so funny.
That happens to me and my lady all the time. Is we'll be out and someone will be like, hey, I'm like, hey, what's up? Oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know,
you'll
all
act
the,
like you're there, you
all
know,
the dabs
yeah.
and all the stuff, they'll walk away, they'll be like, who is that? I'm like, I have no idea.
Yeah. No. Do you know what the worst ones are? No is you're sitting with like your friends
oh,
and this
man.
Person walks in, Kirsten!
Oh yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hi.
That's the tough. That's a toughie, man.
I just started telling people, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I would rather know your name than call you you. And my brain is filled with so many things.
Yeah.
And I used to go to events that I would know 1,000 people's name that I met at
yeah.
that event, and I would remember them. But my brain can't hold that anymore. I can't do it.
Well,
it,
no one talks about...
I mean, yeah, that's...
One of the best parts of being in a relationship is using your partner to get the name of the person you forgot. No,
I try using him all the time.
No one
but
talks
Brandon
about
doesn't
that.
Pick it up, Jake.
That's one, like... of the, that's one of the best hookups ever, yeah, is I'm yeah. just like, oh, this is my girlfriend, and... Sweetheart,
oh,
this
I do
is.
That. I
yeah.
do that.
And they'll be like, da-da-da. Oh,
that.
Yeah.
No, I mean, when I do it with you, I'm
what?
Like, oh, this is my husband, Brandon. And then they don't tell him their name.
Question, though. How hurt do you think people actually are when you don't remember their name?
Depends on the person.
No,
I guess that's true.
Because
I don't think
yeah,
I've ever
person.
Been hurt. Like I've ran into people I've known forever, and then they've like we've met the functions and stuff, and they'll be like,
it depends.
Well, I was gonna say the relationship you had with them at one point in your life. Like if,
yeah.
they, if they were
yeah.
a close person in your life,
sure, yeah,
and you forgot who they were, then they.
So I forgot my grandma's
like,
name once, and it was just I never
well,
heard
actually,
the end of it.
She cut you off. There was this one person I remember. I was apparently her best friend for like a whole weekend. Okay?
Oh wow, yeah.
And
wow,
she came to me like a year later, and she's like, "Oh my gosh, Kirsten, how are you doing?" And I was like, "I'm so sorry, like I don't remember who you are." And she tells me, "I go back the next week.
Oh,
she comes
no.
to me. I forgot her again.
Oh,
it happened
no.
3 times.
That's, yeah, but
three
that's
times.
On you at
that's
that point.
Me.
That's on
but
you.
But that's like my brain. My brain was just
well,
like, I don't know how I just like
well,
don't remember your name.
I mean, if I was that person, I'd be like,
I'd be
yo, this
mad.
Person doesn't want to be my friend.
Yeah.
I'd be so
point,
mad.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
So, but that, luckily, that was like 15, 16 years ago, so I'm a lot better now. I also tell people like, when I'm with them, because I'm very particular on how my name's said. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't really like being called Kristen or Kirsten or all that.
Yeah, yeah,
say
yeah,
my
yeah.
name Kirsten.
Yeah.
But if someone messes it up, I'll be like, hey, it is Kirsten.
Right,
but also,
right.
if someone tells me their name, I would rather say, like, if they're like, I'm gonna have to, I'll be like, here's my name. If you have to ask me 6 times, do it. Because I'd rather you know my name
yeah.
than, like, not. And so I've learned to just be less, like not like what's the word like less scared to not know something
right
to
right
ask
right,
the question
right, right. Well yeah
see,
names probably
it's, so it's yeah. it's really funny. I had a encounter where I think it was mutual literally the other day actually
yeah
I was I hosted an open house, one of my listings,
mm-hmm.
and like 30 something people came by, and what I even tried to do didn't work for me because I wasn't paying attention to the amount of people signing in, but this
nice.
this guy came in as there was like five other people in the house, and I'm bouncing back and forth from each group, repeating the same facts about the house.
Right.
And once I give enough,
they did not die in here.
No. Once I give enough, bless you. Once I give enough information, I'll be like, all right, guys.
Important question.
I'll give you stuff. I'll give you your privacy. I'll be right back. Let me just make sure I talk to whoever else came in.
Yeah.
And I can tell that this guy that came in, he knew me and I knew him. We knew each other, and we started laughing and. We were communicating we were talking like if we were boys, not like, oh, I'm an agent, I'm a buyer. We weren't communicating like that, but we never once said, where do I know you from? I think we both just knew.
You knew from your subject.
But we never ended up, we never solved the problem. I was 100% sure I knew the guy from somewhere. And then he was talking to me like, oh yeah, like how's the last year been? So that's how I knew him, but I can tell he didn't know mine because he was like, oh, it's nice to see you, man. I was like, oh, it's nice to see you. And I went back on the sign-in sheet to see what he signed in on as. But, like, so many people signed in that I didn't recognize the name either.
I'm so sorry. I was trying to listen to that story. Yeah. But I started dying laughing at. I just imagine you're at the open house. Have you seen I Love You, Man? Have you seen I Love You, Man? Where it's, like, Jason Sudeikis and Paul Rudd. And it's that, like, guy farting all over the open house and they're like talking about it, and they're just like look, he doesn't really actually have the money to afford this house, and he's like walking around pretending like, oh yeah, no, you know, it's not for me, I'm not gonna take it. And as he's doing it, as he's looking around the house, he has his pretty like girlfriend go and look at a painting, and he lifts his leg and just farts in the house, and Jason Sudeikis and Paul Rudd are watching him, and he goes, I think that guy just farted in your open house.
Wow.
And now I just think of like all your open houses and all the people that have just crop dusted, and how many lost purchases because someone might have farted in your open house. And my stomach started hurting. I'm so sorry.
There's no way.
That's what was happening while you were telling that story, and I got lost, and I'm so sorry.
How dare you, Jake?
I'm so sorry. That's my brain. That's just what happens.
I told you, this is what it is, the scatterbrain.
That's just what happens. I have a question going back to, wow, that like actually really got me going. Going back to the running into people, if it's your ex or an old hookup, and you guys have locked eyes, do you go and say hi, or do you just ignore that it happened?
I mean, I've only ever had one ex, so... I hope I.
Yeah, he doesn't even live in this country.
Yeah,
so.
But
I will say, I mean, I feel like that'll just be like one of those awkward
scenarios. Like, what do you do?
It's like, yeah, this is. I don't know.
It depends how it ended, and it depends who they are.
Yeah.
If it's one of those scenarios where it's like, let's say, if it's over there, the person's standing at a wall, and I'm here, then I'm probably not. We're not going to bother doing anything about it.
But if you get like.
Let's say you're going in a mall and you get locked in the elevator. It's like, what happens there? It's like, hello.
Well, that's your scenario. Has this happened before? I would actually like to know.
It hasn't happened.
Brandon has a whole like.
No.
That didn't happen at all. I mean,
now look, if you're at Century Westfield Mall and you're on the second floor and you step into the elevator
and
you hit
into Nordstrom,
you hit
right
B1
there,
and she's there and you're in the corner and you've got a Zara bag in your hand and she also went to Zara. And now you're both wondering, should we talk about this or wait till the elevator opens? Maybe you'll say hi. It didn't happen to me. I'm just saying specifically.
Yeah, right? Just specific. I'm like sitting here like, okay.
That might have been a thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. I feel like it's so internally awkward. I don't know what it's like. I guess it's only as awkward as you make it, right? Like
I don't want to.
Yeah.
If I am in the position where it happens, then I hope that Brandon's with me.
Yeah.
Because that would make me feel a lot more like. Confident that I'm protected.
Then you can be like, you see, I upgraded.
Nice.
He's very confident. As he has his encounters secretly in elevators. He doesn't tell me about them.
Dude,
I'm dead.
Yeah, I don't know. I think like on that topic though, I think it's so funny because I feel like when I see online and stuff, a lot of people, when they end relationships, it's like they almost look for a bad way out to justify ending it. You know what I mean? And it creates that awkwardness. It's like, I don't know. I'd like to think when ending relationships, I've tried to be as cordial as possible to make situations like that not entirely god awful. You know what I mean? But
yeah. I think the whole situation of like, we can stay friends is like, not a thing.
Can you stay friends after you break up? I don't think you can. Like, I don't think you should. Yeah, I just don't like. I don't know. I think in theory, it's a great idea. Like, I think it's a great concept. It's like, no, we'll be civil. We'll be, you know what I mean? But
well, civil's different than friend. Friend means I have you around.
Like, I'm going to still hang
out.
I'm talking to you
consistently. You're going to find yourself in the relationship again that you worked so hard to get out of.
Yeah. Question. Right. Now, when you break, if you broke up or you know, contextually, delete all the social media photos, unfollow, everything like that? Or do you keep the following? Or do you keep, like, how does... I've always been, like, gotta just go clean.
Cut ties.
Gotta cut. Well, it's like, I can't text. I can't, like, see it. I can't, like, I have to, like, it. For me, it's always...
Yeah.
But it's like, what's...
breaking a habit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, technically, you have to do the same things that you would do if you were breaking eating sugar.
Right.
Because it's something that you're used to having there.
Yeah.
Or someone you're used to having there.
Yeah, and also, like, if you break up with someone, I'm not going to want to go on my freaking social, and every time I pull up my social, I see
it,
what I walked away from. You know what I mean? I would delete it.
Yeah, I've always, I don't...
I sent, like, and this is just because I'm a very... Like, the second boy I ever dated, I married, I'm very particular things.
Sure.
But, like, with my ex, I just was respectfully, even though it was not a very great relationship ending, I just was like, hey, I respect you enough. I can't be your friend because I still have feelings for you and
it's
not working, obviously. So I need to, like, break it off.
Yeah.
Weren't you guys communicating via email, though? Not even text?
No. So I broke off. Whoa. I broke it off text. I broke it off text, and then he would email me or like email my friends and stuff.
Not
and
email. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Your mom's like, I got a fax from your ex.
I was like, what happened here?
He's trying to reach you any way he can.
Hey, when she told me, it was like, yeah, we're emailing and we're arguing over email. And I'm like, yo, that guy's weird.
Well,
bro.
I will say this: like, when somebody is like really in, when it breaks off and you haven't broke off the soul ties
truly,
it's not like, oh, weird person, it's that you're so used to being communicating with someone every day. Like, I was communicating with that person for 7 years straight every day.
Yeah,
so to break off that with somebody takes a lot of gut and like you have to state like, I'm done, and out of respect to you and me.
Yeah,
so it's not hatred.
Well,
no, totally.
Especially if you're walking out of a long distance relationship like that. Like, if you know,
long-term.
I feel like
long term.
Sorry,
it was long distance.
Thank you.
But
if you're walking out of like a 7 year relationship, you're probably walking out because you're like 100% sure, like, it's done.
Yeah, exactly.
So you wanna eliminate all the access you could have to that person.
Also, young relationships are hard.
They are.
Like, I think that's really tough. It's, you know, I do believe you can find that person young and you have these like 15, 20, you know, oh, we dated from high school, moving forward. And you guys do have like a collective growth together. And I do believe in that. But I also believe, you know, when people are like, oh, I had to go find myself and stuff. Sometimes I can see how that's an excuse, but other times I kind of get it. Like, I do understand having a little time for yourself to figure yourself out a little bit. Because that's the tough thing about young relationships is it is so hard to grow and change in a relationship while you're changing and that other person's changing. It's like, sometimes it's okay to accept, like, who we were when we met is not who we are now. And who we are now might not be compatible or we're compatible through.
It also depends what, when you say, when someone says, I want to find myself, like, what is,
it's like,
what is
right.
finding yourself?
Or find yourself
like,
through
what,
other
like,
people.
Like, what are you wanting
right.
to do?
Yeah.
I just feel like when someone says, I gotta find myself.
Right.
It's just like a nice way of saying, I don't want a partner.
Yeah. Or you don't bring out the best in me. You don't bring out what I need in myself.
Yeah.
And not that they're responsible for that, but different people activate different things in you.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of the time, regardless if you're young or old too, if you break up with someone and you're stuck in that communication, you don't take time, you're going to find the same exact person in a different body.
Yeah. That's,
I will say, everyone, like, to each their own, everyone will probably have a different opinion on this, but I think it's very hard if you move in with your partner too early.
That's so important.
One of my biggest blessings in life was that her and I waited till we were married to move in together. And you know, we almost a couple times we almost moved in together before, and I'm very thankful that when she asked me, I was the one saying no, we should still wait, and then when I asked her, she was the one saying no, we should still wait. But I feel like so many of the relationships I've seen throughout, like, you know, when I lived in Florida here, when the partners move in together, it's, I feel like if you're not married, it's just like an easy way of like, you know, I didn't like this, I'm gonna move out, this, that. Or it's just too much responsibility for someone. And because you're not married, it's just, it just doesn't work mentally.
Yeah. Well, and also it's like, I mean, that's a huge number, like statistically of breakups is move-in, because like, also it takes the pizzazz out of a relationship when you, because you're on
a very big
top
thing.
Of each other. So, like you said, marriage is different because it's like, okay, we've made this, you know, this
covenant
with each other that it's like, we will get through thick and thin. But when you are in there, you know, moved in like that, and you're just around the person 24/7.
And you're just testing it out.
Yeah,
the
you're always.
You're
yeah.
just like, well, it's almost, let's just go into this because I like you.
Well, yeah, and
it's not about liking a person.
I told someone something. Someone said to me one time, they're like, I'm gonna move in with my girl, and I are gonna move in. You know, we're gonna save on rent, and we're gonna save on rent. We're gonna see how it goes. And I was just like, well, what if it doesn't go well? Because, you know, when you get married, one of the things you look forward to is getting a place together,
getting
a house together, moving in, sharing, like building from bottom to top. Like you're creating something new. But I feel like if you move in with a partner and it doesn't work out, and you're like, the only reason you're gonna now leave your partner's household is basically break up.
Right.
Like, you're not just gonna be like, oh yeah, this place didn't work out. He's like, you stay in your apartment, I'll stay in my apartment. Someone's gonna get offended by that.
Uh-huh.
And that's just not gonna work.
Yeah, man. I think the moving in too early will 100% destroy it. And I mean, there's prime example is the pandemic. Pandemic destroyed so many relationships. It created families.
I would almost argue it's probably equal.
I bet there is as many marriages as there were divorces. Like, you know what
I mean? Well, you really got to understand if you like your person. you know what I mean?
Yeah,
well,
bro.
Some people were just stuck with someone.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And then they just ended up living there, and then they just did stuff because it was just like, you're the only person here.
Right.
And then it was like, oh, now we have a baby.
Yeah. No, it's so true. And that's like one of the hardest things I feel like is knowing. And this is the part of finding yourself and figure out yourself is how much of this is like, I need a companion, and how much of this is like, no, I need, like, I really do want you in my life. I think that those things get skewered all the time.
Yeah.
Or skewed.
Yeah.
We're gonna go
you know, yeah. You know, I do have a question. How was your COVID experience? Going through the whole stay-at-home order here in LA, stuff like that.
Oh my god!
I don't think we've ever dived
COVID
into.
Feels like forever ago. My COVID experience was, probably just like everyone else's. I mean, I just had like one of the best career years of my life, like musically and acting. The synergy was amazing.
I'd just
done Stargirl, and then I did the movie, and then I just released the EP, and everything was just like
booming. Yeah,
yeah. And so I got my first apartment, and we were about to go do like Comic-Con, like everything was getting lined up to go on this press tour and everything. And then the pandemic hit, and I was like, so then you're stuck inside, you know. And there was that weird thing in the beginning where everyone thought like, oh my God, this is the most severe thing ever. Like, like those first few weeks, it was crazy. Like my local grocery store, like people were yelling and screaming at each other. It was like, he was a lot. And then it was probably like the first few months, like, well, no one's doing anything, so I guess we can just play video games and screw around, and like, you know, the world stopped right now. And you know, that was probably the first time I really experienced the if I'm not doing this like acting thing, like financially and stuff, what am I like
doing?
How do you like, what am I doing when I'm not doing this? And that's when that really started to creep in. And then you fall into, you think you have your habits day to day. When COVID happens, your habits get like locked in so hard. I mean, it was so hard. I mean, you know, people, alcoholism rose, you know, smoking rose. Like, I was fucking doing everything. I was drinking, smoking pot. I was like literally doing anything to pass the time, playing video games, working out. Like, I was music, everything, like all the, and then it just became this like circle where I'm like, I don't know what to do anymore. I literally went crazy for a little bit, you know? And then there was that weird, like the first year was weird. And then there was the limbo year, which is like the second year was like, well, no, you can go out and stuff, but no, you can't. But at the same time, you can, but it's okay, but it's not. It's like that was even weirder because then stuff was happening, but stuff wasn't happening. Yeah. And then like we were working, and like when you're filming during the pandemic, you take a test like every day, every 2 days, every day. And then that's where it just like started feeling ridiculous. And yeah, man, the whole experience was nuts. And then it's crazy to think that it's just like gone. It's just gone. It's like, I remember it's like, you got the vaccines and stuff like that, and then that kind of helped you, and then you found out, oh, it really doesn't help you, but it kind of helps you, and then like it's like we all really need it, and like really pushing it, you have to get it for work, and then like a extra year went by, and now no one has to get it. It was just like, what? Yeah, it was crazy. Like a little phase. It was crazy.
I won't forget. Kirsten and I were on a cruise. And on Valentine's, the month before stay home started.
Dude.
And I remember everyone on this ship was talking about this COVID thing. And
that's a crazy place to be.
We don't watch the news. Yeah. We don't really watch the news. And
I don't.
And on the cruise, on the cruise, we're just like chilling. And at the first couple times, I was like, yeah, it's just something regular. Like, it's just a regular conversation people are talking about. It's irrelevant. It's fine. But then I started hearing it more and more and more. And then I started hearing, like, you know, special security when we get back to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is this COVID thing? Oh, like, dude, what's going on? And then, well, first we realized we were the last cruise ship allowed back into the States.
Yeah.
Like, there were so many cruise ships stuck.
Yeah, dude.
And I'm so thankful that wasn't us. But then I remember, like, I got the text from my office one day, and I was like, oh, our office is, you know, shut down. Real estate's made non-essential as well. So we're going to be closed for at least a month, but let's just wait for the next update.
Yeah.
And I remember I read that text, though, but I was more like, wait, so we just get to chill at home for a month? Because that's when I didn't know anything about COVID.
I
was like, you know what? I'm going to relax.
Yeah.
This is good. This is what I need.
I only understood how severe it was. Because my father is a physical therapist.
PTA. That makes sense.
He was working like in the nursing homes and stuff like that. So then he was starting to tell me how severe this is.
Yeah.
And
that's he had more detail on it at the beginning.
And then, so, I mean, obviously freaking terrible. So many people lost like an autoimmunity compromised people, like, and that's when you started going, that was tragic. This is crazy.
It's actually taking people out, which is not a good thing.
Yeah, people are dropping, man. It was nuts. It's just wild, like, how fast it moves. And I think the biggest thing that I feel like also that's why so many people, especially in their 20s, are like, time's moving so fast. Where'd my life go? And stuff like that. It's like, bro, if you were 20, 21, 22, it's like you just lost your early 20s to the pandemic.
Really?
Like,
well,
at least 3 years if you really think about it.
I mean, I might be wrong. I mean, she'll watch this and correct me eventually. Yeah. But I think my sister missed her entire senior year of high school.
Oh, yeah.
Because of COVID. Yeah.
Her
entire senior year.
So many kids that graduate online.
Yeah. Well, that was her. Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's so much was lost to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Kirsten, we lived with Chris, and it was so funny because we were literally just looking for things to do to kill time.
Right.
And I remember we were playing like 3 or 4 games a day of Catan.
Oh, man.
That was the Catan phase. And then Kirsten and I would just be like, you guys, you guys want to go to Trader Joe's? It's the only place open. Yeah. They're like, the line was like 3 hours long, but it was 3 hours off the day.
And unironically, it brought you closer to your group than you had in so long. And also, it completely changed how we consume content. Had the pandemic not happened, I truthfully believe the way we consume content would be completely different. I don't think TikTok would be what it is today. I don't think Instagram
Twitch
Reels and all
wouldn't
stuff.
Be what it is today.
Podcasting, like
Twitch became what it is to this day because of COVID. And right after Twitch took off because of COVID, that's when Amazon bought it.
Yeah.
You know, so they were just like everything that was like, it's very easy accessible for stay home order. They're like, that's what's going to take off right now. These big companies are like, let's build this and make this and do this.
No, man, everything completely changed. If people are still, dude, we're, you know, 3 years in, people are still recovering and figuring
out. I had another funny memory. Where Kirsten and Chris like basically were like, yeah, we don't know this guy. We waited at Trader Joe's for so long. And I'll tell you, I have to be honest, I was one of the rebels to like wearing a mask.
Oh, yeah.
During COVID,
yeah.
I found every reason possible to not wear it. Or I just didn't wear it until I was told to wear it, literally. Because I respected it once I was told, but if I wasn't told, I wasn't wearing it.
Yeah, right.
Well, so, outside.
Outside, I never wore it. But then we were walking into Trader Joe's, and I hated wearing these masks. And Kristen are communicating with these masks on, and I feel like I'm using extra strength to talk through it. Yeah. And then and this is at the very beginning.
You're one
when
of those.
The speaker, when the speaker at Trader Joe's was like, oh, you know, until we know more about COVID, if you're coughing, sniffling, anything relating to a cold, anything, just please don't come in until we know more about it.
During COVID? Yeah, so. It's like having a zombie bite, bro. People looked at you like you were a walker, dude.
It's true.
You sneeze in a Ralph's, everyone's like,
hey, I will never forget. It was at the beginning. We go to Trader Joe's. We're looking at like the raw meat, and I'm talking to Kirsten, and out of nowhere, I choke on air.
Oh gosh!
And I start dying.
They're like, sir, you need to
get out. I'm coughing like 30, 40 times. I'm choking on, bro. The whole grocery store scattered. I've never seen people move so fast in my life, and I felt like I was like a disease in the store or something. And then Chris is like
patient zero.
I don't know this guy.
Oh man,
hey, that was by far in the moment it wasn't funny, but it was funny to look back at.
I mean, I know we got to wrap this up. We've been going for
been
a minute.
Going in our vibes.
Yeah, but I think the craziest thing is just time just moves on. We just as a species, we just keep going. Yep. Like it's so nuts. The further and further we get away from it, it's like it never happened. You know, obviously, the people that were lost and obviously everything they did to our country. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying in the world. I'm just saying it's just insane how quick as creatures you just have to keep going. Like you just eventually time just keeps going.
I was actually talking about this with my mom yesterday because I think I lost 15 people in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And you know, not from COVID, just in general. Some pretty traumatic things as well. And I was talking to her about it and I'm just like, you know, it's interesting because so often I have the opportunity to hold on to all those deaths if I wanted to. You know, I could live my life every day and just focus in on, oh wow, I've lost 15 important people, like close people to me in the last 5 years of my life. And I would be in a corner every day. Mm-hmm. And so I have a choice every day to not forget, but my reminiscing or trying to hold on to what was will always hold me back. Mm-hmm. And so time will always keep moving, like you're saying. Yeah. And I just think that in that, no matter if you've, you know, had loss or pain or something happening, there's a beautiful future and a now to be present in what you can do. And I think that's something that even through COVID or other things is I found an opportunity to laugh, to have joy, to, you know, take hold of what was presently good. And that doesn't take away from the pain, but ultimately it's, you only have two options there. You know, like
I think it's so important to be present.
Yeah,
and I feel like there's so many distractions in this day and age, and you know, every now and then, if I have free time, I'll be caught looking through like so many memories. Like I'll always send her some memories from like years ago.
Dude, yeah,
and I'll just be like, you know, time literally it flies. It's the only thing, you know, doesn't matter who you are, what you have, you're not going to be able to get it back. So it's just so important to be present, and just like it's okay to feel.
Yeah.
You know.
So I think the moral of this podcast is hug your loved ones and don't say hi to your ex in public.
That's a big one.
I can Kirsten on this title.
That is the input we have for you guys. And I would like to know if you guys see your ex in public, what would you do? I wanna know.
And how was all of your guys' COVID experience?
Also, when is it too early to move in?
Yeah.
When is it too early to move in?
Those are important questions. I'm with it. Yeah.
I'm really curious, actually.
Yeah. But
thank you guys for tuning in today.
Busy babies.
Yes. And
well, what did
don't forget to stay busy.
Stay busy.
As Josh says.
Yeah, that's what Josh said.
Also,
you, Weber.
Guys, like, don't forget to go and like and subscribe, comment on all of our platforms. We got YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, and Spotify, all the places that you want to listen during your drive. We love to connect and we appreciate you. So
yeah, and if your multitasking skills are really good, you can watch and drive at the same time. Which I'd definitely recommend.
Okay.
So I'll see you guys.
Listen and drive, maybe. Yeah. Okay.
Watch on your free time.
Babies.
I love you guys.